It was a good week this week. I had a reunion of priests who studied in Belgium at the seminary I went to. And so we all gathered for our annual reunion, and priests came from Rhode Island to California to meet here in Grand Rapids. And we had a really good time. A lot of laughing, sharing stories, a lot of good food and drink, some singing and prayer. It was a good week. But I had a miss one day. I missed the day on Wednesday of the tour of Meyer Garden because I got an email about a week ago that invited me to come and be part of a clergy of Grand Rapids round table discussion. Well, you don't get these emails very often. So I was reading it, and I really didn't know who sent it, and I didn't know really what the discussion was going to be. But I figured since they invited me, I would go. And they wouldn't tell us where the event was. They said they'd let us know the night before. So I responded, I'll go. But then I started having so much fun with my reunion, I decided in my mind, I'm not going. But then I got a phone call on Tuesday night about 8 o'clock at night. And the person said, you RSVP'd for the clergy roundtable tomorrow. We're just calling to remind you and giving you the location. We hope you're still planning on coming. I got caught. So I said, yeah, I'll be there. So it was at 11:30 on Wednesday afternoon on Hall Street at a place I had never been. And I walked in and knew a few people, but I was one of three white ministers. I was the only Catholic minister. There were five Hispanic pastors, and then the majority, probably about 30, that were African American pastors. And so I'm looking around, saw a few people I knew, waved and said hi. And I said, what are we doing here? And they said, oh, you don't know? I said, no. They said, it's a round table with Governor Whitmer. I said, oh. Geez, I shouldn't have missed my reunion. But I stayed. And we had a good discussion with some of the ministers. She came in late. And she opened it up to questions, and there were a lot of very interesting questions from the ministers. They talked about guns, poverty, police, and they talked about abortion. This was Wednesday before the Supreme Court thing. And I must say the governor did a good job of responding. But she's a politician, you know, and I really didn't need to be there to listen. I could have told you what her answers were going to be on all these things. So the round table wasn't really beneficial. But God had a plan. And it was at the very end of the round table event. A minister stood up and he said, I want to offer a blessing over the governor. And he said, I want to tell you why. So he looked at the governor, who said he could give the blessing. And he looked at the 40 ministers that were there and he said, this morning I was sharing with some friends while we were out for breakfast that I was going to be meeting the governor today. I don't know how he knew, because I didn't know, but he shared that information over breakfast. And he said someone he didn't know came up to him and said, "Oh, you're seeing the governor today?" And he said, "Yeah." And they said to him, "Well, can you take something for her?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And this person said, "We'd like you to take 2 bullets for her brain." The governor was standing right next to this minister when he said that. It disturbed me then, it disturbs me now. I get goosebumps. And so he went on to keep talking to us, and he said, "What kind of society are we living in?" He said, "Where somebody I don't even know comes up to me and says, 'I want to have you put 2 bullets into the governor's brain.'" He said, "Maybe we don't agree. She's a politician. Not everybody's going to agree with her and her stance. But we have a right to vote then." But he said to all of us ministers, "What's happening to our society where we turn to this violence?" Because it's not just the governor. We saw it this week after the Supreme Court's decision that they had to put extra police around the justices' houses because of threatened violence, of wanting to kill them. We're watching on TV the events around January 6th, and the image stays in my mind of the gallows that were raised outside of the Capitol and people yelling, "Hang the vice president." What's happening? What's going on there? Because we disagree with somebody, we want them dead. Well, you know, it's really nothing new. Because if we listen to that gospel, that's what happened in the time of Jesus. Jesus is going to Jerusalem, wants to stop in Samaria. They don't want him. And so 2 of Jesus' apostles, who were with him for 3 years, were so upset. What did they say? "Lord, let us call down fire from heaven to kill them." It was like saying, "I want to put a bullet in their brain, or I want to hang them." They said, "Let us call down fire from heaven to consume them." And what does Jesus say? No. Jesus, it's the scripture says, rebukes his apostles. Says to them, "This isn't the solution. I'm here to proclaim love and mercy. We don't all need to think the same way. We need to respect each other, but no, it's not about violence." And then Jesus goes on. We need to hear that. Because our society is becoming just like those apostles. Let's kill somebody we don't like. Well, then came Friday with the Supreme Court's decision on abortion. And I have to say, as I stand here, I'm very supportive. Abortion is a horrible thing. I've gone through too many times of talking with husbands and wives after they've been through an abortion, having to deal with the pain and the agony that they thought would be relieved. And so I agree. But the decision the Supreme Court made on Friday presents us with an opportunity. An opportunity to practice what we preach. An opportunity to say we believe that pro-life doesn't end at birth. That pro-life is something that we need to extend to everybody, at all ages, in all circumstances. That we need to be pro-life and for the life of the mother and the father and the child that is to be born. And not just at birth, but throughout their lives. We need to look and study substance abuse, neglect, racism, poverty, all these issues that are tied in with this concept of abortion. And we need to do something about them, because if we don't, then we're not respecting life. And we need to be pro-life. We need to deal with housing shortages. We need to deal with universal daycare so that parents can go to work and support their children. We need to deal with so much. A plethora of issues come forward, but we can deal with them. And we need to deal with them because we say we're pro-life. You know, for 6 years, I served on the board at St. John's Home D.A. Blodgett. And primarily, the work of St. John's Home is that social agencies and the police, when they find a child that's being abused or neglected, they bring them to St. John's Home. And St. John's Home, after evaluating them, wants to find them a place in a foster family. But there's not enough foster parents. So they have to keep some of the children there. And they'll keep them there until their 18th birthday. And on their 18th birthday, no matter when it is, they say, so long, farewell. There's no more funds for you to be here. The funds stop at 18. We need to think a little bit about 18-year-olds. Think of when you were 18, or think of when your child turned 18. Did they have it? Did they have the ability to go out into the world without family, to make decisions about where to live and how to shop and how to get a job and how to apply for college and how to do any of these things? No way. But these social organizations say the government money ends at 18. It's a sharp cliff. It shouldn't be. We need to respect life. We need to be helping these kids who've already been neglected or abused to be able to move on, to be able to learn more. But we make excuses. There's not enough money. We make excuses. There's not enough time. There's not enough energy. We make excuses that it's alcohol problem or it's a drug problem. Well, Jesus goes on in this gospel and he says, stop making excuses. Somebody says, I want to follow you, Lord, but first let me go bury my father. Sounds like a noble thing. But what does Jesus say? He says, don't make excuses. Come follow me. Go out into the world. Proclaim love. Let the dead bury the dead. You have work to do. Another one says, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me say goodbye to my family first. It's a good excuse. But Jesus says, no. There are no excuses when it comes to the love that Jesus proclaimed. And there is no excuse for us to not be that pro-life in every situation, with every person. There are no good excuses. Just like there are no good excuses to kill somebody, there are no good excuses to stop respecting life. Not if somebody says, oh, they're in jail, they deserve to die. Or they come from a broken home, or they're a different color, or they speak a different language, or they're not here legally. Let's not respect them. Their life. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are called to show a respect for life. It doesn't stop at birth. But that's hard. But it was hard for the disciples, and it's been hard every day of this world to go out and to proclaim that love. But that's what we are called to do. That's why we come to this altar. That's why we listen to God's word, to be strengthened, to proclaim a right to life, a right to living. In the bulletin today, oh, there's some right here. There's some right here. I know it's yours. I'm going to borrow it. I'm not going to take your vodka, though. But we had our tithing committee meeting last week, and we looked at all the different suggestions. And one came in that caught the committee's eye. It was called Grace's Table. I knew nothing of it. The committee knew nothing of it. But it's a house on Richmond. On Richmond and Alpine. If you're heading to New Beginnings, it's on that same side of the street. And there's a banner out front. It says Grace's Table. I've drove past it hundreds of times. We didn't know what it was, so one of the committee decided they would go there, and they found out what it was about. And she came back with a report, and she said, this house is a place of refuge and learning for girls ages 13 to 24 who have had children. It teaches them how to care for their children. It gives them support. It gives them an opportunity and a place to wash clothes and to learn how to be a good mother. You know, and I remember sitting there in that meeting, I said, boy, that sounds nice. And it's right near here. But then I kept thinking, who does it, and I said it out loud. Anybody on the tithing committee here? I said it out loud. I said, 13, 14, 15, having a baby? Grace's table is respecting life. Grace's table is reaching out to these girls. And I started to say, would we be welcoming them? Would we welcome a 13-year-old girl who was pregnant to this church? Or would we point and talk? What would we do with that 13 and 14-year-old girl? And it's not just social agencies that are run by the government. I look forward to this opportunity even in the church. Who can send their kids to Catholic school? People that have resources. What if a 15-year-old girl wanted to send her child to our preschool? Or to any Catholic school? Or a 16-year-old girl? Or a 17-year-old girl? We have opportunities before us, folks. We have opportunities that Jesus says we can't make excuses. We need to be with everybody. We need to bring the message and the love of the Lord to all those around us. We can't say right to life ends at birth. We have to be Jesus' presence in the world. We have to be there to support others when it's not comfortable, when it's not easy. I'm proud that we gave this money, but it's not enough. I was proud that the people on that committee wanted to learn and say, we're going to go down there and volunteer, because that's what it takes. It takes all of us to change the way our world thinks. You know, it goes back to that beginning thing about our world over the last 5 or 6 years has become so strong in saying, let's just put a bullet in her brain. And people accept it. We can't accept this. We need to be willing to make a difference. We need to be willing to get dirty, not find an easy way out. Some people are saying, well, you know, this isn't what right to life really means. Right to life is against abortion. No, right to life is right to life. We need to bring God's love to everybody. We can't make excuses. If we make that excuse, we're just like what Jesus talks about. You can't make excuses. So we pray today, the ability to accept that our world needs to change, that our world needs to have Christ in it, and that we can't discard people. We have to be there to care for them. We have to be there to love them. And we have to stop making excuses that that's just the way things are. We have to listen to Jesus when he so bluntly says, let the dead bury the dead. We need to take care of the living. We need to ensure that everyone experiences the love of God.